Thank you very much for the introduction. I hope you all had a wonderful morning. I'd like to start with a brief introduction to calcium silicon slag and silicon nutrition. Calcium silicon slag is a byproduct when producing elemental phosphorus from fossil rocks. It's a potentially good source of silicon. Silicon is the Earth's second most abundant element in the Earth's crust. In physiological pH range of most soils, the dominant and plant available form is monosilicic acid. Although all plants growing in soil accumulate some kind of silicon, the amounts accumulated vary greatly. For example, in rice straw, it accumulates about 4% of silicon, but the concentration in chickpea is much lower. Plant physiologists generally agree that silicon is not an essential nutrient because most plants can finish its life cycle without silicon. An exception is plants in gramineae family, including rice and sugarcane. Silicon also has some well-documented beneficial effects, such as pathogen defense and abiotic stress relief. Therefore, a lot of people call it quasi-essential element. Typical concentration of silicon in soil solution also vary greatly. For mineral soils containing 2:1 type clay, the concentration is usually sufficient. But based on a survey to soil in Louisiana, mineral soil could be deficient in silicon with continuous rice production. For organic and sandy soil, silicon availability is usually very, very low. Calcium silicon slag has been widely used as silicon supplement in Everglades area, Florida. Rice and sugarcane amended with silicon slag showed greater biomass, yield, less pathogen infection, and increased straw silicon and leaf silicon. However, this type of calcium silicon slag usually contains trace contaminants, either originating from the fossil rocks or from the procedures it's being produced. Those contaminants include cadmium, lead, chromium, and some radioactive elements such as polonium and radium. Are those trace contaminants going to be a problem? We don't quite know yet. So, objective of this study is to determine the effect of calcium silicon slag on trace contaminants for rice production. A greenhouse study was performed at Auburn University using rice. The variety is CL151, which is a clear field variety. The management practice is dry seeding. Seeds were sowed directly to soil and slag applied at planting. At about 3 weeks after planting, seedlings were thinned to one per pot. For the first 5 weeks, water was added to each pot to fill capacity, and then flooding started. Right before flooding, 150 pounds per acre nitrogen as urea was applied to each pot. At about 110 days after planting, rice was harvested. The experiment design for this study is a factorial design with four replications. We collected two soils typically used for either rice or sugarcane production from Mississippi River Delta and Everglades area, Florida. We compared two application methods, surface application and incorporated into soil. There were four slag rates, 0, 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000 milligram per kilogram, which are equivalent to 0, 2,000, 4,000, and 8,000 pounds per acre. Upon harvest, plant tissues were dried and biomass recorded first. Then soil pH, available silicon, available and total elements in rice and soil, and total radioactivity were analyzed using documented methods. First, I would like to show you some background analysis of our slag material. This slag does contain some essential plant nutrients, for example, calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus, as well as some real contaminants such as cadmium, chromium, and lead. But compared to US EPA seeding concentrations for biosolids, total concentration of those contaminants are much lower. Also, not all those contaminants are available to plants, so we further analyze available elements in soil. Please pay attention to the unit for total concentration is ppm. For available concentration is ppb, which is 7 times lower. This indicates that only a tiny proportion of the contaminants are available to plants. Usually, when the radioactivity is about 3 times higher than background, it is radioactive. Our slag has a total radioactivity of about 4 times greater than background. So it is kind of radioactive. And the radioactivity is originated from lead, polonium, radium, and thorium. Availability of elements in soil is largely affected by pH. Our slag has a calcium carbonate equivalent of about 60%, which means there's some alkalinity in there. So we would like to check how it affects soil pH first. Data from the both years were combined to analyze this interaction. For the clay soil, soil pH significantly increased as the slag rate increased. But for the organic soil, the soil pH did not change much. This is probably because organic soil has a very strong buffer capacity. We are actually adding silicon to the soil with slag application, so we will check how it affects soil available silicon. Due to the significant four-way interaction, data are listed in this table by year, soil, slag rates, and application methods. As you can see, as the slag rates increased, soil available silicon also gradually increased. However, this increase was only significant for the highest rate of the slag for both clay soil and organic soil. Now let's move to biomass. Rice growing in mineral soil, which is represented by the blue bar, produce more straw and grain biomass than rice growing in organic soil. But unfortunately, slag application did not significantly improve either straw or grain biomass for either soil. Our slag contains some plant nutrients, but some of those nutrients are micronutrients, and a higher concentration could cause toxicity. So we analyzed those nutrients first. As you can tell, for total iron, manganese, copper, cobalt, and phosphorus, slag application did not have much effect on it. Even our slag material contains about 0.7% of phosphorus, soil phosphorus only slightly increased, which may not cause adverse environmental effects such as eutrophication. Then we analyzed available nutrients in soil. Again, for iron, copper, and cobalt, we don't see any significant difference. But for available manganese in the clay soil, it significantly decreased as the slag rate increased. This is probably due to the liming effect we observed. For organic soil, we don't see any significant difference. Now let's move to some real contaminants. Cadmium, chromium, and lead are the three primary concerns. We don't see any significant increase with slag application for cadmium, chromium, and lead. This is good news. For available contaminants, it's the same situation. We don't see any significant increase for cadmium, chromium, or lead. This is not good news. Now let's move to the total elements in rice feed. There was no significant difference among ear, soil, slag rates, or application methods for all the elements listed in this table. But total manganese is an exception. Total manganese in seed in the clay soil significantly decreased as the slag rate increased. This is probably due to the decreased available soil manganese, as I mentioned in previous slides, which is further due to the liming effect. For total manganese in organic soil, we don't see much difference. Our slag material is kind of radioactive, but is this radioactivity going to transfer to soil or rice grain? The answer for soil is no. Total radioactivity in our soil is about 20 times lower than the background, which means there's barely any radioactivity in there. The answer for rice is the same. No, total radioactivity in our rice sample is only about 0.15 becquerel per gram. Compared to those commercially produced and sold rice all over the world in the market, total radioactivity in our rice sample is at least 2 to 3 times lower than those samples. So here are a few important take-home points. Applied calcium silicon slag at up to 5 metric tons per hectare, increased soil pH and available silicon, whereas decreased soil available manganese and total manganese in rice seed. The slag application do not have much effect on trace contaminants or radioactivity in rice or soil. So the conclusion for this study is application of calcium silicon slag showed no potential environmental risks for rice production. I have to mention that our study was performed in well-controlled greenhouse conditions. A failed experiment with leaching or runoff is really necessary to verify our results. And also, even though we don't see any yield response slag application, it may be interesting to investigate a potential beneficial effect from silicon, such as tensile defense and drought stress relief in the field. In addition, another important target crop for slag is sugarcane. So performance of this slag on sugarcane also needs to be determined. This study is supported by Alabama Department of Agriculture and Industries. And I would also to express my deep appreciation to my committee members and Dr. Alan Wright from University of Florida, our lab manager, our radiation safety specialist, director of our Brown Research Center, and my lab colleagues. I would like to take questions.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Did your treatments affect the silicon concentration in the shoots?
Actually, no. I did not list the data here, but we checked silicon concentration in both straw and leaf. We don't see any significant increase. But I have to mention that the method we used is not good for silicon. We used the EPA 3051 method. It's not designed for silicon. We will further analyze silicon using hydrofluoric acid. Yes, sir.
I had a question about your rates.
Yes. Typical for silica. This, based on research back to 1970s and 1990s, research in Florida usually used like 4,000 pounds per acre as a typical rate.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yes.
Were those applied on an area basis or a mass basis?
Actually, mass basis.
We have time for one more question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
What happens if you start applying this on a more regular basis? Does it change your conclusions as far as the effects of this material?
Yeah, actually, this is a very good question. The question is about the carryover effect. Unfortunately, I don't quite know the answer now. But since calcium silicon slag has been widely used in Florida for more than 20 years, a survey to those areas who has been continuously amended with slag could answer this question, I think.
We have one more short question. We can take that. All right. Let's give our speaker a hand.
Thank you.